You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Your girl man saver, better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good, and it's so hard to do right, when you do wrong, when it turn right, but you turn all the way, lele.
Hensha, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima, energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
All your bright shining faces. even though it's on Zoom, we are so grateful that we can also share this conversation that we have today with our friends who listen to the podcast. So we're doing two things at once. I'm speaking to y'all, and we are also going to share this with our podcast friends as well. There's a proverb, an African proverb, that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. And that word together, oh, is so important in every culture. Tribal cultures are all about families and groups being together. And when we think about what together means in a family, right? Two are better than one, Ecclesiastes tells us. I mean, together is so important. If we really realize this, I mean, if it's sunk in for real, it would change the way we treat one another. It would change the way we behave. Look at Matthew 18:19-20, right in there. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Well, first of all, we welcome the Lord because he's here in the midst of us right now, because we're gathered together. But I think if we really realize what it took to be in agreement, I know people say touch and agree, and we have prayer partners, and we do all of that, and that's wonderful. But if we realize the power of agreement and being in unity, unity is a superpower. Unity is our strength. If we realize that, we would put aside offenses. We would put aside problems with other people. We wouldn't gossip. It would change our thinking. If we realize that agreement and unity was key to progress, I believe all of us would behave differently. I do. I think it's really important to think that and to think about that, especially as we think about our young people, we think about our families and our children. And I want to show you something that I really think is amazing, because it shows me how much power, how much we need each other, and being together in our spirit, in our unity, in our thoughts and agreement, in our belief, is really important. Let me show you. 1 Samuel chapter 1, chapter 2, I absolutely love, and y'all know why. I mean, I don't have a tattoo. I'm not getting a tattoo. But if I ever did get a tattoo, it would be 1 Samuel 1:27. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him, because I have a miracle baby. And so I really identify. Hannah resonates with me. I understand what it's like to be provoked to the point where you have to have a miracle from God and nothing else will do. And I prayed for a son, and God answered my prayer. And I'm forever grateful. And the amazing thing about Hannah's son is that he has a purpose. He has a call. He has a destiny from day one. And he's in the temple. And he is with Eli. And the amazing thing to me about all of that is I can't imagine that Eli had not despaired of his sons yet. their morals, their character were flawed. They were sinning actively and openly at the temple. They were just a nightmare. I'm not judging. I'm just reporting. And I wonder if at some point in Eli's life, he just was overwhelmed looking at his legacy and seeing these young men who were just vile in their behavior toward parishioners. And then here comes Samuel, gift-wrapped, in a little coat. And his mother brings him to the temple, and Eli blesses his parents, and God blesses Hannah with additional children. And even when Eli tried to correct his own children, it didn't seem to take. And all of a sudden, God does something that I see that God loves to do. Second chances, third chances, tenth chances. He just loves, God just loves to give a fresh start. That doesn't mean we should squander the blessings of God. But if you do, God is merciful so often and so many times. There's some things you can't get back. There's some things you don't get a do-over. But there are many times when God gives us another chance. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. And what I want all of you to see today is that God is moving in the life of the elder, the older, and in the life of the child, the youth. I think so often we think of children as future people. What are you going to be when you grow up? Well, you're already that right now. Samuel shows us that you can have a call on your life and you just walk it out in age-appropriate steps, right? You know? And here it is. I love it because the wonderful Samuel has favor. When we pray for our children, our young people, our youth, even ourselves, favor. How many times throughout the entire Bible do people find grace, find favor? And yet grace is the gospel. Jesus has given us grace. We have grace in the eyes of God if we're walking with him. As he is, so are we in this world. So if Jesus has favor and grace, guess what? If you're in Christ, you do too. Isn't that wonderful? And so do your children. I said all that to say this. Chapter 3. Eli had had some prophecies delivered to him, some information delivered to him because of his truly tragic children and the way in which he had walked in God and he had not done what he was supposed to do. And I'm really amazed by chapter 3 because of that. But even though Eli is flawed, even though his sons have turned out terribly, God has a plan. There's always a ram in the thicket. Have you noticed that? Right? You know what I'm talking about? When Abraham is going to sacrifice Isaac, and Isaac's like, hey, so where's the sacrifice? And Abraham says that God will provide, and there is a ram in the thicket. I've had it so many times, and so have you. You thought you were at the end. You thought you weren't going to make it. You thought it wasn't going to work out, and boom. And so many of those things come in ways you didn't expect. God can use your enemies to bless you. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. I mean, God can bring money out of places. He can bring items and material things, but he can also bring people. I mean, God's not a counterfeiter. So if you pray and ask for his help, he's probably not going to rain down dollar bills. But he is going to provide. And so often the way he provides, only he could have thought of it. Only he will get the glory for it. Yeah, that's right. And so often when you tell that story, like our friend here just said, it becomes your testimony. Like it's not just, oh, you know, I did this and that. No, it's that, wow, while I was asleep, taking a nap. this happened or that happened. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You do. Yeah. I do too. Chapter 3, 1 Samuel, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Mm-hmm. Aren't we blessed that we live in this wonderful grace-filled era where the Holy Spirit will answer your questions and solve your problems, and you don't necessarily have to trek over to the temple and make sacrifices and try to get it together? We have help. We have wisdom. Jesus is our wisdom right now. But back then, it says it's scarce. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. It's dark. You ever had a situation where it's just dark? Like, if you knew what to do, you'd be doing it. If you had the money, you'd be paying it. If you had some help, they'd be helping you. But it's just dark. Looking at the situation with our eyes, this doesn't look great. The priest Eli has received some tragic prophecies about his family. He is laying down in his eyes. He can't see. He's literally blinded. And the lamp of God, which we all know what that symbolically represents, goes out. What is happening? This is not a great moment. This is a dark moment. This is a moment, remember at the beginning of everything, when the earth was without form and void and it was dark and it was just a huge mess, but the Spirit of God was moving. Well, God's moving right now. And he's moving in your life and the lives of your children, and he's moving in this passage as well. When it just is pitiful, it's just pitiful. Nothing but bad news, darkness, blindness, setbacks, criticism, problems, delays. What does God do? We're prophets, not reporters, and God is our example. That the Lord called Samuel. Isn't that wonderful? I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? No. No. Because no matter what these terrible circumstances are, God calls Samuel in the midst of them. And so for those of us looking around at our world today, wars and rumors of wars and pandemics and endemics and division and politics and problems and inflation and whatever it is we're looking at, God is calling your children. Oh, every single one of you smiled at that. I love that. Me too. No matter what it looks like, God is moving for you. No matter what it looks like, God is moving for your children. No matter what it looks like or feels like or sounds like or even is like, because sometimes this is true, right? Sometimes the things you are having happen in your life, you're not exaggerating how bad it is. It's bad. God is moving for you. And we see that right here, that the Lord called Samuel. And then Samuel did the most wonderful thing that needs to happen. And we need to teach our children this. We need to teach ourselves this. We need to encourage each other in the Lord about this. And he answered, "Whosoever will, let him come." Jesus calls people all throughout his walk. He calls people, "Come follow me." He's calling you. He's calling your children. He's calling us. Even as this disastrous situation was unfolding, God called Samuel, and Samuel answered. I want my children to answer. You want your children to answer. We want our children to love Jesus, to follow Jesus, to walk with Jesus all the days of their life. And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. Now we're getting to the part I really want to share with you today. It is so important. Our great honor is to teach our children to recognize God, to recognize His love, to recognize the Holy Spirit, to recognize the Lord Jesus, and walk with Him. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. We are so blessed. Our children are like arrows, good arrows, and we're aiming them toward the sun, S-O-N. And then he will direct those arrows where he needs them to go. I wonder if all the baby shower registries and all of the gifts and birthday parties were honest, we would all have to say, yes, these material things are so important and we need them, but the number one thing we need for all of our children is that they are in Christ. Jesus loves children. Children love Jesus. Right? Children found him. They followed him. They wanted to see him. Parents brought their children to be blessed by him. We know right now our children are tender-hearted. This is the very best time for them to meet Jesus. If they meet him later, fine, as long as they meet him. But right now, we have a chance as the parents of early learners to introduce Christ to them, to say, this is Jesus, and he loves you. We don't have to get technical. We don't have to put a lot of burdens on them that they can't carry. They just need to know that grace is the gospel, that Jesus loves them, that they can run to him, not away from him, that he is with them, that he is for them, and he is absolutely in love with them. And the Lord called yet again. Oh, yet again. I love yet again, don't you? Yet again. Yet again. I have a message that I share yet again because I really believe yet again is why almost everybody in this room is still making it, because yet again, you messed up, but God called again. Right? Yeah. You didn't hear him. You didn't understand. You thought it was this, and you did that, and all. And yet, that yet again is so powerful. So powerful. Thank you, Lord, for calling us yet again. Yet again. God never minds repeating himself. He never minds turning up the volume. He never minds sending confirmation. He doesn't mind sending correction. He doesn't mind sending help. That's why we have all these beautiful gifts in the fivefold ministry. Beautiful people who've given their lives and their time to help us get it right. Yet again. I think of so many things that I didn't get it the first time. I thought I knew, but I didn't know, or I didn't understand, or I didn't get right. And God, yet again, just yet again. How wonderful. Yet again. Yet again. Samuel. I love that he called him by name. Jesus is calling your children by name. He's calling you by name. He's calling me by name. Yet again. In other words, he didn't say, oh, you didn't get it the first time. Well, let me move on. No, yeah, yeah, sorry. Yet again. Yet again. Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. Okay, Samuel still doesn't have it. He's young. It's different then than it is now, right? Not everybody knows God in the same way that we do today. Eli. And he answered, I called not, my son. I love that, don't you, my son? Think about Eli's sons. They're just horrific. And yet God has given him yet again. That's right, yet again. He's given him a yet again. He's given him a yet again. My son. A good one, with favor with the Lord and men. A good one whose words will never drop to the ground. A good one who will follow God all the days of his life and walk out the plans and promises that God has for him. A good one, my son. That's a yet again right there. Do you have yet agains in your life? If you do, please think about them. Please praise God for them. See, sometimes I think we don't even understand how many things have to work for us to get it yet again. We don't necessarily understand that God has done so many things for us to get us yet again. You messed up that job, and yet somebody else took a chance on you, and now you're at a job, and it's a good job, and you're doing a good job, and it's a great thing yet again. You messed up your first marriage, your relationship or something, or somebody else did, and God's like, oh, yet again, he orders the steps of someone else who will love you. He orders the steps of someone else who you find favor in their sight. That's a yet again. And if you go through all your life, you know, you flunked out of the first community college you went to, you partied too much, didn't do a good job, and then later on your job sent you somewhere and you got a degree and they paid for it, yet again. I want all of us, yet again, I mean, I want yet again to become something that we thank God for, that we believe God for, and in the lives of our children, we pray for. I pray that way. If my nephew doesn't seize a God-given opportunity the first time, yet again, send it back around. Send something else even better. Sometimes it's not the exact same person or place or thing, but it is something that's wonderful and God-ordained in the yet again. Oh, okay. Yeah, here we go again. Lie down again. Okay, all right. I want you to see two things here. First of all, that God calls yet again. But God gives a yet again to Eli, too. Eli is the foster father of Samuel, really. He's claiming him. But even when he doesn't get it, he's a priest. His job has been to walk with God and do the things of God and the work of God. And he hasn't gotten it. And he gets a yet again, too. Oh, wonderful mothers. Isn't it wonderful that even when you miss it, when you don't get it exactly right, you can believe God to make up the difference. You can believe God to fix it, smooth it over, yet again, the situation. You find out there's something you should have done and you didn't do it, well, yet again. There's something you did and you shouldn't have done it, well, yet again. Jesus is so merciful. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Very important. Super important. Even if your children do not know God, look at what God will do. Because there's somebody else who's not mentioned in this chapter, but is really super important in this chapter. Who is that? That's Hannah. That's Hannah. Right. I mean, even though her name is not in this chapter, she's not here, she's still his mother. She comes to see him once a year and brings him a little coat, and she prays for him, and she has other children. She prayed him into this world. You think she quit? See, sometimes we forget these yet agains are actually the result of prayers. Jesus wants to bless you. I mean, he's looking for ways to bless you. And yet, there's somebody in agreement with Jesus. And that's us. That's Hannah. When we read about agreeing and believing God for blessings and good things and wonderful things that he already wants to give our children and to give to us, there's a praying mother in this story. The Bible doesn't mince words. It doesn't waste space. It doesn't talk about you unless you need to be talked about. Some of the people whose names we never get, the centurion is an incredibly important man, and we don't have a name. There's people that we go, oh, well, who was that? And their name is never listed, but Hannah gets whole chapters about her and about her faith. She prayed for a child. She did. And the Lord blessed her with more children, but the Lord blessed her with Samuel. And so I honestly believe, even as God keeps calling Samuel, he's honoring the prayers of Hannah. He's honoring the sacrifice of Hannah. He's honoring the prayers and the love. What did they tell Cornelius? They said, your prayers and your giving have come up before the Lord. Well, Hannah's got both. Yeah, that's right. Hannah's got both prayers and her giving of Samuel to the Lord. She said she gave him to the Lord, and all his life he would be given to the Lord. Her prayers and her giving. Grace is the gospel. We're not talking about works here. We're not talking about earning your blessings or buying your blessings. No, Jesus is giving us these things freely in our covenant. But at this moment in time, I believe that God is yet again blessing everybody in this story. Even though Samuel didn't know God, God kept calling Samuel. He didn't throw up his hands and say, well, this kid is hopeless. He's lived in a temple his whole life, and he can't do any better than this. No. He didn't say, well, Eli is just failing left and right. My goodness, this is ridiculous. No. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. Somebody should count those agains. It'll comfort you. Let me see how many agains there are in this verse. You'll never feel hopeless again. The third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. The one thing I love about Samuel is he is obedient. He is faithful. He's trying. I mean, usually when somebody calls him, it's Eli, so he keeps going to Eli. He's loyal to Eli. He's faithful in what he's doing. And what I think is so beautiful about this is that he could have said, you know, I tried this twice, and he said it wasn't him. I'm going back to sleep. He gets up again. It says he arose and went. And I'm sure in a place like the temple, you know, that's just not like, you know, I rolled over and texted him back. I had to make an effort. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived. Oh, thank God. I think they call it women's intuition. They call it mother wit. Y'all heard that? They talk about how sometimes mothers just know. And I think that's why many mothers make such wonderful homeschool teachers. Because we have intuition about our children. We understand them. No one loves them more than we do, except Jesus. And so maybe a teacher will only go so far. They'll stay after school maybe for an hour, and we love teachers. We think teachers are heroic. But you'll put in the work all weekend if you have to teach them something. You'll change your schedule. You'll do something totally different if you have to in order to be that mother that they need in that hour. Oh, well, thank God for the times I perceived. I see you nodding. Yeah, aren't you glad that finally you got it? Really, I am. I'm so glad for the moments that I perceived that this was God. But I thought it was, the world calls it coincidence, or the world calls it, the Bible says hap in Ruth, her hap. Just happenstance. It happened to be like this. God did this, and all of a sudden you perceive that this is something bigger and better and more important than you are. That God is up to something. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for calling us until we come. Thank you. You leave the 99 and come look for us. Therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I love that in this new covenant, we're not servants, we're sons. But we still have to answer. God puts something in your heart. He prompts you. He warns you. He directs you. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will watch over you and advise you and watch over your progress. Still have to follow directions. Still have to follow it. God lays something on your heart to do and you never do it. That could have been a portal, an open door to get you to the next step of blessings, but you're not doing it.
Oh Lord, could you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back once the world forgave you.
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcasts for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage, scroll down to Featured Podcast, click on Play or click on Subscribe for more programs. Or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come. Another reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans. Who we are. What we miss. To get back to each other. To life. But it's okay to have questions, like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds. Can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at GetVaccineAnswers.org.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Or... Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road. But I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Millions retire online so they can do what they want offline. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. See what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
Yo, let me flip the script. Like my homeboy's true penmanship. My Bible's got a pistol grip. So on this track, you're fixing to get pistol whipped by the KJV all over the. Scripture pouring out your soul, homie. That's coming out your pores to reach the pores. Sweat dripping passages of life, hardcore, cause it's in your core. Preaching the word of God till your throat gets sore. Then you take a sip and live in water and preach some more. Holy Spirit living, cause Jesus was risen for your sinful condition. That's what church folk like to call conviction. So you're convicted, your disease is lifted. Man, you're gifted, your soul shifted in the upward motion. Your sins are on the bottom of the ocean. On this boat of life, you're straight up coasting.
Oh, we ever want, and all we ever want is what we are.
come in our mouths, your life into our souls. Answer as we're crying out, hear and make us whole.
I'm crying out, cause I can't seem to get on the right track. At war with my own self, flesh, I gotta fight that. Gloves up, gotta fight back. I'm afraid though, mold me to the man I gotta be. Play-Doh, trying to stand firm, but inside I'm still a child though. Staring out the window, the outside is wild, yo. Look to the stars, but I'm afraid to reach up. Lord, extend your hand to the bottom, reach us. We don't need a suit to preach to us. We need wisdom from your very word. Dig in, teach us. And as I gain wisdom, hold my hand, lead me down the right path. Still broken, but you're all I need despite that.
Run the race, though it's hard and we're scarred. God will help us if we ask and we keep up on our guard. Against every trap, every sin, each temptation, bruh. He can see us through, man. I don't know why I'm waiting, I can do it if it's his way and not the old man. The pro can lean back and just float like it's a slow jam. But most paths are covered with these stumbling blocks and way too many ungrateful mumbling flocks. Wanna grow weary way too easy and get greasy. I tell them they can keep on with him, but they don't believe me. Gotta do or do not, cause remember there's no try. This war ain't in the stars, though we lean on the Most High.
So I think one of the greatest things we can teach our children at this point in their lives is to listen to God, is to follow God. The directions that he places in his word, the direction that he places through their parents and grandparents and teachers and people who pastors and people who love them, you know, God wants to guide our children. I have testimonies from childhood, I'm sure you do too, and I've heard many children testify. They don't necessarily call it that, but they tell me about it. And a lot of times they won't super spiritualize it and say, oh, you know, God told me not to go to school that day, and that was the day that there was some dangerous thing happening. No, they just didn't feel like it. Well, God spoke to me and told me, stay away from those kids because they're using drugs and alcohol. Nah, they just decided not to text them back or add them as a friend. God is leading our children. God is leading our youth. God is leading our homeschoolers. God is leading our young people at school. He is leading us in how to lead them. And one of the most important things we have to do is be ready to pivot. I mean, what if Eli had, God forbid, spanked Samuel and said, now don't bother me anymore, go to bed. Right? the end of the chapter. Right? It's like, oh no, because without Samuel, we don't have Saul, and without Saul, we don't have David. We don't. There's a whole lot that unfolds from Samuel learning to hear from God. Okay, here we go. Yeah, exactly. This is happening right now. I have a beautiful testimony from a friend of mine. I mean, this is somebody in my life. They're my friend. I trust them. They're a sane, reasonable person and all that. And she dropped her child off at school, started driving down the road, and just couldn't get over the fact it's going to be trouble to pick him up. You got to go all the way back. Then you got to go to the principal's office and, you know, fill out the little form that says why you're picking him up. And they got to call them out of school and do all of those things. And she did it, though. She did it. She went back and she did it. She said she couldn't shake it. She turned, got to the end of the street, turned down the street, got ready to go. And it just was like, she said it was the only thing she could think was to go back and get her child. And then she thought, oh, but I'll interrupt her day. I'll have to explain why I'm picking her up. And it sounds crazy because I shouldn't use that word. I'm sorry. It sounds wild to say, you know, I'm picking up my child because I just think I should. Well, guess what? As mothers, we get to do that. As mothers, we get to do that. We've been given that God-given authority that we can hear from God for our children and act on what he says. And here's the wonderful thing about it. She picked up her child. And the child was like, what are we doing? Do I have a doctor's appointment? What's happening? She said, I don't really know what we're doing. Let's just go get some ice cream and, I don't know, let's go to Walmart. I mean, they just, you know, she didn't have a reason. And you don't need a reason. You just need the Holy Spirit. And that day, a man came to the school, and he ended up being apprehended, but in his backpack, he had knives, he had a gun, and he had screwdrivers, and he was at the school to do harm and damage. He posted on Facebook about how he was going to hurt people that day, and children who had, and parents who had Facebook alerted the police, and the police came, and they were able to intercept him. Now, I'm not putting fear in your heart. I mean, I'm not saying school is awful. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying for that particular mother, she knew best for her child that day. Well, nobody was hurt. Uh-huh. Because maybe the somebody that was going to get hurt wasn't there. I don't know. We'll never know. And that's the beauty of it. That, you know, years later, her child is fine because she listened to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit for your children. And teach them to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Please, I'm begging you, in these perilous times, that kind of thing will save your life. That's not overdramatic. That's not the right place, the right time is the goal of our lives. I want to be in the right place. I want my child in the right place at the right time with the right people and never in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. And the Lord came. I'm wiping away tears seeing that because the first two times, the third time, he called. And isn't it wonderful that Jesus came? We have a whole Old Testament of God calling. Here's prophecy, and here's law, and here's vision, and here's instruction, and here's all of this. And finally, when mankind was in a despairing, awful state, grace is the gospel. Jesus came. He came. Isn't that wonderful? There's people that call you when you're in trouble or text you when you're in trouble or they message you when you're in trouble, and then there's a whole different kind of person, and they come. Doorbell starts ringing. Right? Somebody, you have a visitor so-and-so. That's a whole different level of friend and family. I thank God for the people that come. And the Lord came and stood. Oh, isn't that wonderful? He stayed. The presence of God wasn't fleeting. It wasn't hard to understand. It wasn't complicated. It wasn't far off. He came and he stood. Thank God for the people who come and the people who stand with us and with our children. Thank God for Jesus, who never left, who never leaves, who never leaves us or forsakes us. Love never fails. Thank God that Jesus is with us always, even to the end of the world, even to the end of the age, even to the end of all things. And the Lord came and stood and called. Ah, that's beautiful. He came, he stood, he called. You weren't going to miss him. He's right there, he's not going anywhere, and he's calling you. So all your senses, pretty much, you know, like 4 out of 5, are involved. You can hear him, you can see him, you can feel his presence. Isn't that wonderful? The sweet savor, the sweet smell, all around Samuel. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times. Oh, yet again, right? Yet again, as at other times. He was there all the time. I mean, you only knew him calling, but he was there. The presence of God is always with our children, and Jesus is with them in every situation. And here's the wonderful thing about Jesus. Even if he warns you and you miss it, he will still step in and protect you. He will still step in and deliver you. He will still step in and help you. He will still step in and guide you. He will still step in and do for you, even when you are wrong or lost or confused or not doing what you're supposed to do. Oh, my goodness, this is beautiful. And it says, then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Look at this. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. Now listen, what did he call? Samuel, Samuel. When God does something once, it is amazing and powerful and omnipotent. But when God does something twice, pay attention. The first time, he does call Samuel, right? He calls him. But he says, Samuel, Samuel. In other words, he's going to make sure he gets this right. This is solid. This is true. This can be trusted. God can be trusted. Then Samuel answered, speak. Speak, for thy servant heareth. That is shouting ground, my friends. Yet again. And Jesus is even more merciful and more gracious to us in our new covenant. Yet again. Each one of you is teaching your children the very best way you know how. You're leading them, and you want them to have a beautiful life, and you have good plans for them, and they're precious to you. And isn't it wonderful that Jesus wants that even more than you do? So much so that he will come and save you. He'll even come and save you from your own silly self, mistakes you have made, things you have done, as well as the plans of the enemy and mankind. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. God had a powerful message for Samuel to deliver to Eli. And it was amazing. It was quite, I mean, it wasn't just a sentence like, you know, we might expect God to deliver to a young person. It was actual prophecy. It was actually foretelling. And Samuel delivered that message to Eli. And I want you to look at 1 Samuel 3:19. As a result of yet again, as a result of God dealing with Samuel and Eli until the desired results were achieved, and thank God for us that Jesus already fulfilled all of that. He already fulfilled it for us. Jesus got it all right. And because we're in him, God looks at us as if we do too. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. Right? He didn't have to call and, who is that? And he didn't know, and he didn't have any revelation about God or whatever. From that moment on, Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him and didn't let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. I'm so happy for Hannah. As mothers, I can't imagine, and I know you can't either, the sacrifice that must have been for her. You pray for a child, you have a child, and you have to hand him over to the Lord in the temple that's far away. I would have just been living out back at the temple. I was like, well, I live here now, I guess. But every day, each one of us is handing our children to the Lord as well. We're trusting that the Lord has a good plan for their lives. We're trying to understand their gifts and their talents, who they are. They're not clones, they're children. And so that means they're lent to us, and they have a place in this world that God has for them. And we hope it's filled with happiness and good health, and we pray and we believe God for good things and blessings for our children. And every day, we have to make the decision to trust God with them. In little ways, like when they learn to cross the street by themselves, and in big ways when they go off to college. God can be trusted. Grace is the gospel, and Jesus loves you. And he honored Hannah and her sacrifice and her prayers with someone that all Israel knew was a prophet of the Lord. He never missed. He didn't have a prophecy. He didn't have a prophecy that went wrong, not ever. And the Lord was with him. Yet again. The Lord is with our children. And he loves them so much. It's impossible to believe it, but he loves them even more than we do. And he has a good plan for each of their lives. I really appreciate each one of you inviting me to be with you today and to join you and to share this with you. And I thank you. I thank each one of you for being phenomenal mothers of prayer and sacrifice and trust and believing. And I hope that you feel comforted and encouraged that God will watch over your children, love your children, yet again. Thank you.
Multitudes of people crying, asking for manna and pleading for quail, shouting, reaching, pushing, shoving, salt and oil, flour and lard. Eating is everything. Pass your basket. Have faith. He'll give us loaves and fishes.
big eyes for dogs to pray. Could barely see in the night. There was orange stripes you can't see in the night. Once you see, you get it into a fight. At the little dog, I saw a frog. It was yellow, and I said hello. Then I said goodbye, cause I gotta go tonight.
The world's greatest radio, TalkTainmentRadio.com.